Hey guys, welcome back to Here's the Pitch with Mike Techno. In today's podcast, I am going to be talking about the new Jumanji film, Jumanji The Next Level. I just finished watching it and I immediately had an idea for a sequel based on how the credits scene lines it up for something like that. So I'm going to try and keep it spoiler free for the first half, but of course I cannot make any promises. I'm going to go chronologically in terms of specifics, so pretty much stop listening after a few minutes, because then I'm going to start getting into more of the plot heavy stuff. So from the trailers, you kind of already know that it starts out with actually having Danny Glover and Danny DeVito's characters as the Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson roles in the beginning. So that's not much of a spoiler, which is good. So I'm just going to jump right into it. You probably should listen to this because I'm going to talk about the entire movie. So basically it starts out with they're all coming home from college for winter break. And that's when you actually get to have, you get to see all the characters in their natural habitats, what they're doing, how they're spending their lives. Bethany has a big change. You know, she goes to help people, which is kind of nice. Yeah, fridge training. What's her name with the, M, as they call her. She's just being popular in college, which is cool for her. And then you have, of course, Spencer having a really, really hard time, which, you know, sad for everybody, but it happens. And so they all come home. Spencer, feeling particularly down, goes back into the game. But it's still very, very broken because of the events of the last film. So it's really, really broken. So he just kind of got sucked in. And then when they realize this and they go back to get him, Bethany doesn't get sucked in. And actually, Danny Glover and Danny DeVito's characters get sucked in instead. Because the game's so broken. And they didn't even get to choose their avatars. Whatever. And then they also get to bring back Alex, was his name? Yeah. Alex, played by Nick Jonas. They bring him back. Bethany brings him back to help. Very different storyline, but it seems to go a lot quicker than the first film storyline. It seemed to finish and resolve a lot quicker. It was there were no missing story beats at all. It pretty much was extremely fluid. It just kind of started and then it ended. Like, it pretty much was just really, really easy to watch. More digestible than the first film, which is great. I think it's good because for an action-adventure film, you really don't want to get slowed down. And this never really felt like it got slowed down, which is great. That's, you know, that's one of the best things you could have with a film, especially this film that's seemingly marketed towards almost everybody for this time around. But it really was a good sequel. It wasn't like, you know, some sequels we've gotten recently where it's definitely not as good, where it's missing some stuff. Since it's able to follow through so similarly with the first film, but also keeping things really new and fresh, because we have, again, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Jack Black, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Jack Black, and Kevin Hart, again, playing against who they are, even more so than last time. It really, really works, and it keeps it new, which is amazing. It really is amazing. More on the specifics, I think that some of the scenery is kind of dry and bland. I think changing up the characters' stats was interesting, but it certainly wasn't really utilized until it was convenient. Which I guess you could say that for many video games, that's how it is. But for this kind of movie, they should have come up a lot more. Like, because in the first film, something that did kind of slow it down was because they did spend so much time on these kind of wacky slapstick comedy bits due to their strengths and weaknesses. And we didn't really get that. We really got a way more action-heavy film. The emotion is like heavy. It's some heavy stuff at some points, which really wasn't expected. And then some of the humor is just way more than I thought it would be, which is kind of cool and interesting. Like, this one really did bridge the gap between teenagers and adults, and the humor was even more, it was even more directed towards that good middle ground than the first film was. Because I thought the first film, in terms of its comedy and execution, was really, really good and really, really effective. But this one's even farther than that. Now, in terms of what this film really lacks, I guess the biggest thing is that, again, there's not a lot of depth. Like, in terms of, it's weird because I'm speaking of it as a video game when it's really a movie, but in terms of the movie, it's a video game, whatever. In terms of, like, level design, there's almost no variety here. It is pretty much three main scenes, three main places, and that's not really good. That's not a good thing. You don't really want that. Because in the first film, there was so much more variety than this. There were so many more, like, levels than this film. Which, again, is fine. It's just in terms of execution, it didn't work well in terms of interest. It worked well with story delivery and how effective that is. Which, again, it's a movie and you're not really spending so much time there, but comparing it to the last film where they were able to grow so much, in terms of what they were able to do, like, they had a lot more, and I'm guessing the budget was similar, if not more, for the sequel. And I'm guessing because of that, they got different places and it took way longer, so that's why it ended up suffering. Because I'm just gonna spoil it now, because then again, it's not really even a spoiler. It's just kind of, it's how it works. Just kind of how it is. It's not gonna affect really the overall story. Pretty much starts in the sand dunes, then immediately goes to town square, then from the town square it goes into like a snowy mountain woods. Or no. It goes to bridges, then to a snowy mountain area, and then to the final castle. It's five. But like last time around, it was jungle and desert. But they were able to do a lot more there and make it real, like, look different, visually keep it different, which I understand. For what this was going for, yeah, it's kind of hard because the way it fit in plot was really different and interesting to what happened last time. But again, it's a sequel. It's still pretty good. I still would keep it high towards the quality of the first one. They seem on very similar levels. This one's just a little bit below that. But really, nowadays, for sequels, like, that's the best you could, like, this is a really good look at what a sequel can be. Because, yes, it followed the same format as the first one, but it kept it interesting and different by introducing a lot more characters and having a lot more, I guess, plot variety as opposed to scene variety, if that makes sense, which is fine. You know, it worked for this, wouldn't work for everything. I do think that if anyone were to go into the game again, if there is even going to be a third one of this Jumanji trilogy, I'll say it that way, because I hate how the reboot, or whatever it was called, whatever it's defined as, was being proposed as Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle or Jumanji 2, because it's not really Jumanji 2. It's Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle, and then this is Jumanji 2, the next level, and then the third one would be Jumanji 3. That's how I'm going to talk about it, because that just makes it easier for me and everyone else. But yeah, you really can't keep it in the game again, which, because then it's just boring. Even if you were to, you know, make up a new villain, make up a new plot, give it new scenes again, it still is, that point as an audience, we're going to get tired of it. At that point, it's not going to be an effective series anymore. But then again, this is a series that should at most be a trilogy, which I think it very well can. I think it could very well finish strong. For me personally, one of my all-time favorite film trilogies is Back to the Future. And personally, as someone who did not grow up in the 80s and was not there for this trilogy being released, Back to the Future, as one entire cohesive story, it's pretty interesting. It's very different. It kind of kept throwing different things at you. It was fun. It was a good ride. Basically, whenever I watch that, I try and watch it once every 6 months. I watch 1 to 3 back to back. I watch the whole thing. It is one story to me. It is one movie to me. And the best thing about something like Back to the Future is that for me, quality did not really decrease through the three parts. Obviously, 3 is weaker, but pretty much it stayed even. And I think that Jumanji is very well on its place to have something like a Back to the Future trilogy in terms of quality and stay the same. Relatively close to the same. I think for a third one, there's a lot of possibilities, and they opened it up for a ton of possibilities with the after credit scene. I won't go into it yet, but I will probably soon. But all in all, the way that the studio and the producers, writer, directors, the way that they're treating this film, they're doing it. They're doing a great job, because they're not really having creative differences. They're not really deviating from what they know works, but they're not staying so close to what works that it's just boring and we've seen it before. Like, they're exactly where they need to be in terms of storytelling. And honestly, nowadays, when there's so much outside force and even inside creative force that affects the product of a film, to see that this series is thriving and relatively staying the same is an amazing thing. And I think it's something that needs to happen way, way more. But I also think that in terms of series and reboots, they need to be fresh. And of course, Jumanji was fresh. Jumanji 2 as a sequel, fresh enough to still keep up that same sort of quality level. Obviously everything could be better, but honestly, for where it is setting the bar, it's staying the same. It's pretty much a really good sequel for the 2010s sequel era, because pretty much that's what we live in right now, a sequel era. Also, not to bring this up, speaking of sequels, saw Ghostbusters 3 trailer. Love that. Very excited. Hopefully, that also keeps up the same quality. That's another thing. Ghostbusters 1 and 2, pretty similar quality levels. I see it as that way, but that also could just be because I'm such a fan of it. And they can't do any wrong. I like the other Ghostbusters. See my last podcast. Like, honestly, it's pretty good. I'm very excited. And so I guess that will then bring me to the end. They are all on. Oh, I also really, really liked how quickly and sparingly they were with the lives. But I could also tell that the reason why they did that was just so the third act can be a little bit more dramatic. Of course, there were no real dips, which is good. That's probably the best possible thing you can have for an action adventure comedy. There were no dips whatsoever in this film. It was pretty much super consistent. It followed the normal story beats that should happen with just some weird jokes and deviations in between, which is good. So it was a really effective story and it stayed consistent, which is good. But they basically just played up the lives thing at the end, which is fine because based on the characters who made them lose those lives, it and the circumstances, it was not out of place. They did it in a really elegant way, but of course, you can tell the only reason they lost lives to begin with was to add more tension for the third act and the battle scene that took place. And speaking of that, that was really fun. That was really well done. The boombox Sony product placement was super out of place. And Sony has to stop doing that. Honestly, it's too, like, it's so unnecessary. I understand the point of it to bring up the hype for the audience because they're about to see this amazing battle scene. But then, because of how the film is edited and it breaks up the song parts and it's just really kind of awkward, it does not help. It doesn't make it better. It really, you could have gotten rid of that entire boombox thing. But Sony was probably like, hey, you got to throw in some product placement here. And so the way that they figured out to do that would be through, well, the PS4 at the end, which actually seems, that seems like it was plot, that was a plot device, so that makes sense. But then they have this boombox in a video game that was not made by Sony Entertainment. Like, it doesn't make sense. It should not have been in there. It should have just been a really awesome, epic score. Or even just like a, Welcome to the Jungle type thing, where the characters aren't acknowledging the song and acknowledging that the song is in the background. But, it's just there for the audience. This wasn't that, and I think it really shoved it in my face personally as a consumer and as a viewer. Didn't like that. Anyway, in terms of fight choreography, again, the editing really weakened it. So, fine. But just like it just weakened it. It made it worse. It made it kind of a worse scene for me. It made it a worse fight scene and it kind of wasn't great. But of course, still, fight choreography was good. It was typical. It made sense. It was, it drove the plot forward. It worked. It wasn't so outlandish for any of the characters. Great. Fine. Final battle. Pretty cool. It was interesting. The weird thing with the horse at the end was fine. I guess it was kind of funny. But then it also was sad because Milo stayed in the game. Or did he? You'll get that in a little bit. So then they get out, they save Jumanji. Nigel comes in with a bunch of snow dogs, which I would love a Nigel spin-off series. Oh my God, would I love that? Oh man, honestly, so fun. I would love to see just Nigel living it up in Jumanji. So they save Jumanji, they come out, Spencer and Em get back together. It's great. Whatever. Then we get the scene, we get Nora, the aunt of actually Kirsten Dunst's character and her brother, I don't know his name, which is really, really cool. It's a good way to tie it again back to the first film in a really elegant, sophisticated way where new viewers won't feel isolated and old viewers will appreciate. And then we have the heating repairman and Spencer's mom go into the basement and see the game. And so he turns it on, and then ostriches start running through the street. The game comes into the real world, which I think is perfect because it's bringing the series back to its roots, and I think that's probably exactly what it needed. That's the, again, a revitalizing twist for the end of a trilogy. That's what I think, because if you do four, oh man, do you screw that up. But a trilogy you can finish so strong with how it's going right now, oh my God, it could be such a great film series. They could finish so, so strong. All right, and so I'm just gonna give it a review out of five, just a general review. I'll give it a 4 out of 5. I liked it. I think it was good. It was just as good of a quality as the last film, give or take. But it could have been done better. Could have been some variety. But still pretty good in terms of the sequels we've gotten lately. High up there. High on the list. Alrighty. So listen to my ad read for a second, and then I'll come back talking about my sequel pitch. All right. Welcome back. Thank you so much for listening to my ad read. Again, thank you to Anchor for sponsoring the podcast. So let's get into the sequel to Jumanji: The Next Level. I'm very excited because the credit scene left us off at a fantastic note. Honest to God, left us at a great, great note. Honestly, again, talking about Back to the Future, very reminiscent of how those movies ended to line up for the other films in the trilogy. Kind of interesting. So I'm imagining it picks up right at the end of that credit, or right before that after credit scene, because you need to get the exposition for the people who, might have missed out on the credit scene. So, starts out, you get the plumber, comes down to the basement, turns on the machine, and then ostriches are running through the street. Spencer and the gang, they all freak out and run back to Spencer's house. I think it's interesting if Spencer's mom and the repairman are gone. Not to say they're in the game, but they're just gone. I think the game should be non-working, can't get it on, cannot even mess around with it, nothing. It is dead. I think that's kind of the best way to do it. So, of course, the implication there is that all of these creatures are now in the real world. The world of Jumanji and the real world are coming together. Now, the reason why I say take out the video game is because, again, you need to keep it fresh. You need to keep it interesting. You can't go into the game again, at least this early on, okay? So, since, of course, everything from the game is now in the real world. They need to try and play the game for real. And this time, no life bars. It is one life. They have to go through this game. But they think, okay, well, what about our avatars? How are we supposed to deal with these creatures if we don't have our strengths and weaknesses? That leads them to then go find their avatars. And obviously, like, the way it'll work in terms of transporting these animals and stuff is it is, of course, limited within this town in New Hampshire, but you kind of go everywhere. You go everywhere to find these characters, and so then you get them together. So that also brings in Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart, Karen Gillan, and Jack Black, because of course they need to reprise their roles. But you get to see them for who they truly are as people, which then opens up for some really, really amazing interactions between these video game characters and the actual humans who live in the real world. You can get some really, really cool, funny type of gags between them, you know, discovering stuff, whatever. Not stuff that can break up the flow of the film, but just stuff kind of interwoven for jokes and character development. So then they find the whole gang, and they get together, and they're and then once they all get together, Nigel, of course, I don't know, let's keep it funny, he's driving a car, or better yet, on the hood of a car, and it just so happens to throw him off right in front of our main characters. I think, you know, have a gag like that. He's not meant to be here. Have it be really, really obscure. Uh-huh. And so then after that, he, of course, gives them their mission. The villain is actually in the world. Maybe it's not a jewel. Maybe it's a creature. Maybe it's a jewel. I don't know. It could be anything. It doesn't matter. This is just a really rough idea. Out of all of the sequel pitches I've had, this one's going to be the weakest because, again, it is one I am coming up with off the top of my head, but it's just something I think is interesting and fun and could be a really strong way to finish off this series. I don't think we need to really introduce any new characters, but it would be great to have Colin Hanks come and just help these guys as him. Like, he is, I don't even know how they got him, to be honest, but he's there and he's helping them out because, of course, he knows the game better than anyone. So they all kind of they team up and they have to deal with all of these animals in the streets. They have to deal with all these creatures attacking random pedestrians. Basically, like, really, it's like Ghostbusters 2 with all of the ghosts and stuff on the streets. It's basically that chaotic. You know, them trying to deal with all of this, you know, like the first Jumanji movie, except way more hyped up, way more intense, because it can also be a mixture of the jungle and the winter scene that we got in the sequel, The Next Level. Another interesting thing would be to bring in this element of you need to be quick with this and figure this out so everyone can go back to the game. That's why it's dead, because no one's in it. There's nothing. It's physically dead. The world is kind of meshing and meshing and colliding with the real world. So you have kind of jungle scenes pop up in places that they shouldn't. You have the snow mountain stuff in places that it shouldn't be. You have dune, like, you're able to make the real world a really glitchy, dangerous place through having this entire video game come out into the real world and have this adventure with 8 characters. You know, like, you can make it really, really kind of interesting and make it kind of fun, make it funny, and still have a really, really good story. So, of course, they team up, get together. They're, you know, beating things left and right. except all of them are only on one life. They all have one life because, of course, it's not a real video game. Characters can't just respawn. So there's a lot more strategy involved. There's a lot more at stake. But it's still super fun, super intense, and just really action adventure heavy. Which is exactly what the series is. So, makes sense. Really then, so they team up, they go, fight the villain, huge battle. I think it would be amazing if we have one of our main characters from the video game, like, actually sacrifice himself. I don't know who, in terms of, you know, where the story goes in terms of character arcs and stuff like that. Because, of course, this is not a super in-depth sequel pitch. Just kind of a bare bones type of thing. Going to be really short because I don't have too much to say about it. But, you know, so one of them actually sacrifices himself to actually get the world back into the game. And then when they go to check on the game is fully back to how it should be. You're not able to go back into it. Like, it's fully closed off. It's just a video game. And you see that character removed from the Avatar select screen. I think, like, it would be so good, so poetic. You know, a really similar ending in terms of the power to what happened with Milo in the next level. And then also we can get Milo to come back. Whether he is a horse or if he is his human equivalent, who knows? But it would have to be done in a really tasteful way that pays respect to the character and Danny Glover, of course. So yeah, and then it basically is resolved. The game's just a game. So they don't worry about it ever again. They all live on happily ever after. They keep the, you know, it would be fun if they kept the game around. If Spencer and Martha? Marsha? I don't remember her name. Whatever it is. If Spencer and the girl, if they get married, have kids, and then they keep the game for their kids, but then the game starts acting weird again, and you get that, uh-oh, what could happen type of thing. Just to keep it fun. But, of course, no sequel after that. It would be done. This would be a open and shut film trilogy. And I think that's perfect. I think that's how Jumanji 3 should be treated. Sorry for it only being an 8-minute kind of quick, super quick pitch for the sequel for this. Basically just came up with it on the fly. Thought it was interesting. Thought it was fun. You know, it wasn't, again, when you pitch a story idea for an action adventure comedy, you don't need the specifics to get the general feel for the film, at least at something this, like this, in this format. You know, because a lot of it is action scenes. And going through all of that kind of repetitively is somewhat boring. But basically what I gave you is a general outline of what I think Jumanji 3 should be. I have no idea what a title would be. And really, I do not care. Also, it would be great to somehow actually integrate Kirsten Dunst's character this time around, because the way that the films have treated Jumanji, the original Jumanji, have been really, really tasteful, but it also leads the audience to believe that this has happened. The events of Jumanji 1 did happen. So it would be amazing if we actually get Kirsten Dunst to be like, holy shit, it's happening again. And she's in it for a little bit. And then her brother, which I don't know his name, I don't know. I don't care to know. But I think it would just be interesting. It would be a fun film. It would be a really good, strong, epic way to close off this trilogy, which I think really is a great family film series that honestly I would recommend for a lot of families to have on their shelves. Honestly, it's not a bad film series to own. It has rewatchability. It's funny enough. It's adventurous enough. It's good for kids. It makes sense to own it, to invest in it. It makes sense. But yeah, I think it's a really fun trilogy. Love the first film. I really do like the second film. I don't know if I love it yet. I say if I love or, I'm lukewarm on a film at least a few hours after I watch it. And it's still too early for me to tell if I love it or not. But I really did enjoy it. I thought it was good. I thought it was a really good sequel in terms of quality. So, yeah, that's it. This was super repetitive, but it was also short, so that kind of evens out. Or it's worse. Probably worse. But that's fine. I don't care. Thank you so much for listening to Here's the Pitch with Mike Techno. I super duper appreciate it. As of right now, I am on every single podcasting platform. So literally, if anyone wants, if you, want to share it around, you don't have to. But if you want to share it around, it's available for everyone. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, I don't even know. There's a bunch. You could Google it and you'll find it. It's everywhere. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Anchor for sponsoring. And I hope you'll listen again soon, sometime. All right. Thanks so much. I am Mike Techno, and this has been Here's the Pitch with Mike Techno. I guess I shouldn't have said this was me. All right. Bye.